Okay, Tov, and welcome back to another one, our ongoing series of Shirim and Daf Yomi. We're now on to both Daf Lamed Bet, Amud Bet. And we are near the bottom of the Amud. At the question, Hechan Rivta Torah, we're picking up on Rav Ila's statement that Rivta Beferush Rivta Torah Edim Zomim Tashlumin, that the reason Rav Yochanan is explaining why normally Makot trumps and includes Mamon, but how come in the case of Edim Zomim and Chovel and Chabarab, Mamon trumps, as it were? Because the Torah expressly stressed payment as the proper resolution to either one of those deals. And so now the question is, Hechan Rivta Torah, where is it that the Torah stressed, in what way or what nuance of the rhetoric did the Torah stress Mamon over Malkot? So Mechtikti, let's start with Edim Zomim. Mechtikti, asking the question is a Mamon Sobachiv, that you have to do to the Edim Zomim what they want to do to the other fellow. So then in the next pasuk, where it says you have to pay, it says, nefesh yad biyad, lamali. Why does it have to say yad biyad? And the answer is, devarnitam yad biyad. Because once it already says you're going to do to him what he wanted to do to the other one, why does it say yad biyad? Because the essential resolution has to be something which can be handed from hand to hand. My neil, what's that, mamon? Maybe we can also find the stress, which is what Rabbi Yochanan, or we wanted to pull from Rabbi Eli and apply to save Rabbi Yochanan, to the same stress the Torah has on Chavalah. When it comes to damages and battery, what he did, he should be done to him. In the next pasuk, Keni Natein Volamali, it's at pasuk number 3 on the page, why should say that shall be given to him? So in other words, the stress is on something that can be given. Good, so now, all that together, Rabbi Yochanan Tamil Amar Ula. Why didn't Rabbi Yochanan accept Ula's reasoning, which is that Mamon trumps Makot from Tachat Asherina and Ayin Tachat Ayin at Limud? The answer is, Imkin Bitalta Ervata Chotcha Lo Tegalei. Rabbi Yochanan would argue that if that's the case, then the Torah's stricture against Achoto would be negated because there would be Mamon that would trump it. So we'll turn around and ask, based on the same reasoning, can be taught, although he's safe, if the issue in the Torah to hit somebody is cancelled, because after all, you have payment. Can be taught, and that the fact that this fellow is a Rasha and deserves a punishment for testifying falsely to try to hurt somebody else will be cancelled because of payment. And of course, we don't say that. We don't say that you have cancelled the law in the Torah because you have Mamun coming in. The answer is, and this is one way to answer it, is that Eim Zomim will still exist as a lav with Makot in the case where they testify about something that there's no financial liability, such as they testify, the classic case of Migdei Makot, that they testify that another fellow's status is diminished. So there they get Makot because there's no payment involved. Same thing with Chavalah. You would get Makot for hitting somebody if the damages ended up being less than the Shor Pruta. That's how Rabbi Yochanan would defend himself. He said, Chavalah and Edim Zomim could still exist even though Mamon carries the day normally. So then we turn around to him and say, Achoto Nami. So by saying that Mamon would trump Makot in the case of Achoto, that wouldn't negate Achoto. He could kill Achoto Bogeret. After all, when the sister is a Bogeret, then there's no payment for Knas, and then Makot will take the day. So how would Rabbi Yochanan defend it? I needed Tachat Asher Ina. In other words, theoretically I agree, but the problem is that Ula bases his reasoning, bases his ruling based on a Pasuk, Tachat Asher Ina, which I already need for another drasha. L'charabaye, as Abaye later will explicate, Amar Abaye, Amar Kra Tachat Asher Ina, Hai tachat asher ina, yichla de'ika bo shtufgam. The Torah says you have to pay her 50 shkalim for tachat asher ina. In other words, it's specifically for that, implying that there are other payments that are for the shame involved, and the fact that she's now, quote-unquote, damaged goods, etc. In other words, Abaye says, how do I know that when somebody does onus, it's not just the 50 shekel, but there's other payments involved? I know that because the Torah says, you pay the 50 shekel, tachat asherina, implying that there's other payments for other parts of the damage and the shame and the pain, etc., that she goes through. And therefore, Rabbi Yochanan will say, tachat asherina is not extra, so that I can use it as a gzera shava from ta'ayin tachatayin, as Ula did, but rather I need it for Abaye's limud. Well, this will put Ula behind the eight ball, because he certainly does need to agree that when somebody does ones, there are other payments involved, and if we can find that alluded to in the pasuk, matov. And so the answer he gives is that Ula nafka lemi de Rava, he got it from Rava. That the man who did this terrible thing, this onus, will pay 50 shekel la'isha shochevima. Ha'isha shochevima, the man who lay with her, gives her 50 shekel. Hanad shchiva chamishim, meaning that the payment of 50 is for the fact that he lay with her. But that doesn't tell you about all the payments that he has. And Michlal Deika Boshnifkam. So in other words, Rava has another turn of the phrase in that pasuk, which alludes to the fact that there are other payments besides the Knas, and that is Chamishim Kesef, and therefore Tachat Asherina is still there to create the Gzera Shava. Good. So all of that is sort of finishing up the issue of Rabbi Yochanan and Ula. And now we have another approach given by Rabbi Eliezer, just as a side piece of why Eidim Zomim pay and don't get makot. Because there's no way you can give them makot, because there's no point at which you could warn them. Remember, any corporal or capital punishment to be properly executed must involve a circumstance where the witnesses themselves either can testify to or themselves gave proper warning before the act that carries this punishment with it, and the accused has to have clearly heard the warning and accepted the warning and said, Afa piche, nonetheless, I'm going to do it, and only then can you administer it. And since Eidim Zomim could never have Hatra'ah, and we'll see why in a second, therefore he says, Makot is just off the table. Therefore, that's why Mamon is what they pay. Amarava Tedab Nitru Oimad. Rava says, I'll support this, because when would you warn them? Nitru Meikara, if you warn them earlier, when they're conspiring, so Amri Mishtalin, then when they come to Beit Din and they lie, they'll say, oh, we forgot about that warning. Nitra, which may or may not be true, it doesn't matter. Nitra Behu B'Shat Ma'aseh, if you warn them when they come to Beit Din, so Parashi V'lo Misadi, then at that point they won't testify. Nitra Behu L'Vasof, if you warn them afterwards, it's too late. Nitra Behu L'Vatoch Dei Divorce, Abaye says, why don't you warn them as they're saying their testimony? And it gives them a second to recant. And if they don't recant, then that should work. That's Abaye's suggestion. Magdal Racha Boreidu Avike gives another suggestion. Why don't we warn them originally? Meaning when we know they're conspiring. The Nirmaz Bahum Ramuzi. And then when they come to Beit Din, we'll get to give them a hint to remind them about it, which should be good enough. But none of that matters, because Hadam Abaye La Milti Hinamri. What I said was wrong. Because Eidim Zomim don't even require Hatra. How do I know that? Because if you say they do, that means that you could not kill them if they testified that somebody else did a capital crime, is guilty of a capital crime, and then we find them out, we can't kill them. Since when could we have a circumstance where they wanted to kill somebody else without Hatra, because after all, the guy didn't do it at all, and they need a hatra'ah in order to be killed? After all, we have to do to them what they want to do to the other guy. And what they wanted to do to the other guy was to kill him without proper warning. He hadn't even done anything. So how can you say that they need warning in order to be killed? So Abaye said, hatra'ah is off the table, not because you can't warn them, but because warning is just not there, because actually what you are doing is killing them for a non-event, including a non-warning. So he then challenges this reading of Abaye that Eidim Zomim are just disconnected from Hatra'ah, based on Kasher Zaman. You have to remember that there are times when Edim Zomim are punished not because of Kasher Zomim, which is when we can't do it, like when they testify that some Kohen is a Ben Grusha, and these two Edim are not Kohanim. So there's nothing we can do to them that's going to change them at all, in which case we give them Makot. So Libi Hatra'ah, so you're going to say in that case they do need Hatra'ah, and like Robert pointed out, there's no point at which that could happen. So what are you going to tell me? You're going to tell me when, if you're saying that Edim Zomim can't have Hatra'ah because of Kasher Zomim Zomim, then when Edim Zomim are coming not from Kasher Zomim, but from Lotan, Ever Achayit Shaker, then you would say they do need Hatra'ah, but they can't get Hatra'ah. So why is that the case? The answer is a makra, mishpat achad yalachem. There's one law across the board. Mishpat ha-shaveh l'kolchem, meaning that whenever possible, we try to equalize the law. And since in most cases, Edim Zomim, you really do fulfill Kasher Zomim, therefore, the rule of Kasher Zomim, which is that they are not in the parsha of Hatra'ah, because after all, they tried to get somebody else hurt without Hatra'ah. Therefore, even in a case where theoretically it would apply, it's off the table. Rav Shishi ben Ravidi Amar, he has a parallel proof. He said, I can bring you a proof of why, in the case of battery, you pay and don't get makot. The case in the beginning of Parsha Mishpatim, where men are fighting and one of them bumps into a pregnant woman. What does the Torah say? If she dies, then on tata nefesh tacha nefesh, we'll see what that means. But if on the other hand, she doesn't die, but she loses the children, then they have to pay for that. The Amar of Allah is a mitzvah shebnita katubu daber. Ablazer says, we're talking about a case that theoretically could be a capital crime. Because after all, it says that if the woman dies, then you have to pay with your life. At least that's what it seems like. So, hechidami, ilo achube. So, what's the case here? Is it a case where they didn't warn the guy before he bumped into the woman? Hey, ilo achube, am I mikta? How could he be killed if he wasn't warned? Elapshita achube. It must be a case where he was aiming for the woman or where he was dangerously nearby and they warned him and he wasn't careful. And then you have to claim that the hatra'ah that he was given against the possibility of getting a death penalty if he kills the woman subsumes a warning about something lesser, which is the financial liability in case she doesn't die but she loses the baby. Right? What does the Torah say? If she doesn't die, then the guy has to pay. Now remember, he also violated Makot. And remember, he was warned. And if we assume that the warning from Mitah subsumes anything lesser, including Makot, that means he could have gotten Makot, but instead he pays. So you see that when Mamon and Makot come together, it's Mamon. And that's in the case of Chabalah. He said, wait a second, who said that basic principle that you got out of there? Maybe that's not true. Maybe it's not true that if you're warned for a greater thing, that subsumes a warning for a lesser thing. Maybe each liability needs an express warning. Maybe if you warn me, if I do this, I could get chiyuv mitan. I said, I don't care. Maybe if instead something lesser happens and I have to pay money. So I didn't know that. Meaning that hatra'ah, because for money you don't need hatra'ah. But maybe that means that the hatra'ah will not work for makot, for hitting somebody. Which means he was never warned for anything about makot. And that's why he pays. He pays because there was no warning. So dilmalohave, and im timtzumamohave, my demita chamura. And even if you want to say that principle that a greater warning subsumes a lesser warning, who says that mitah is more severe than makot? I know that sounds like a bit of a strange thing. But watch this. They say that if it weren't for the fact that those three boys, Chanan, Mishael, Azariah, and Sefer Daniel, were punished and whipped by the king, then indeed they would have worshipped the Tzalem. Instead, they were punished, so they did tshuva, and then when it came time to bow down, they refused to, and they thrown into the fire, and they were saved, etc. So that proves to you that Makot has a very salutary effect. So maybe that's more powerful. Somebody told Rav Ashi, said you can't compare the two. Makot that a Beit Din administers is certainly less severe than Mita. It's measured If you look at the end of Masechet Makot, the guy is checked medically to make sure that he can withstand it, and there's only 39 maximum, etc., as opposed to when the kings do it, he'll whip you until you die, perhaps. So that, of course, perhaps is a fate worse than death. So now, parenthetically, this whole structure that you just built will only work according to Rabbanan, Damri Nefesh Mamash, who say that in the case of pushing the woman, if the woman dies, then Natata Nefesh Tachat Nefesh, you really are killed, which means if you intended to kill one person and by accident you killed another, Yechayav Mita, because you were fighting with another guy and ran into this woman. El Rebbe Damar Mamon, but Rebbe says that you never pay in such a case, and Nefesh Tachat Nefesh means a payment of Mamon, Ma'ika Lememar. So according to him, there's no reason to say there's any hatra here at all. Nobody warned anybody. The guy was messing around. He was attacking one guy, bumped into another person. If that woman dies, he has to pay money. If instead she doesn't die but loses the child, then he pays less than money, we'd assume, a different amount. But there's no reason to say there's any hatra here, which means, according to Rebbe at least, there's no proof from this pasuk that in a case where there's a hatra, you get mamon over makot. Maybe where there's hatra, you get makot for the violation of hitting somebody, and you don't pay mamon. And it's only because there was no hatra. Alam Yaakov in Apkod Mishpain Derova, here's the proof. Here's the support. Menacha. Im Yaakov mitalech pachutza mishantov nikam makeh. A guy attacks another guy. We wait and see. If the victim gets up and walks out, then v'nikam makeh. The attacker is now clean. We'll see what clean means. He still has to pay for Shabbat and for Ripui and the other three things. That this guy gets better and the other guy's going to get killed? Why would the guy get killed if the other guy got better? Why does the Torah have to say Nikam Makeh? Ela Pshita Da Atrube. It must be, Ela Melamed Shechov Shinoto. What does this prove? It proves that we take the attacker and we put him in prison. We meet Kadlin and Light. If the fellow he attacked dies, because it was premeditated, then we kill him. The low meat, shifto yuten rapoyer pay. If not, then he has to pay. Which means the context of our parsha is a context where the fellow, if the victim dies, the attacker will be killed. So hechidam idol atrube, if he wasn't warned before the attack, am I mikto, how can you kill him? Alapshita atrube, it's a case where you did warn him. It must be that when you warn somebody about a greater thing, that it subsumes a warning about a lesser thing. And what do you do if the guy doesn't die? You pay him. You pay him for his lost wages, and you pay him for his medical, and the other few things. So is the same question that Ravashi asked before. Who says that your principle is true? And maybe the warning for death is if you kill this guy and he dies, if you attack this guy and he dies, then you chayav mita. Maybe that doesn't assume a lesser thing, which is, if you hit him and he doesn't die, you chayav makot. Maybe it doesn't include that, so he wasn't really mutrat. And even if it was, does subsume it, Maidim Mita Chamor. So who says that Mita is more Chamor than Makot? Dimal Makot Chamor. The same proof from Chanan Mishal Azariah. Again, the same response. Somebody told Ravashi, of course, Chanan Mishal Azariah. That fate may have been worse than death, and then really pushed him to tshuva because the king's people were beating him. Could have gone on forever, as opposed to a Beit Din where it's certainly less than mita. So of some Rida Lasi Lashi Mary. He might have been amazing. Now Rav Mary is going to cut to the core of this drasha. The drasha says that if the attacked fellow gets up and walks around, then the attacker is vinika, he's cleansed, meaning he's off the hook. So obviously he's off the hook. So maybe it's not so obvious. Mimaidu Mazin, who says the whole case is talking about Mazin? That you were attacking the guy on purpose. Vinikam Iktala, and the meaning, if the other fellow walks around, you're off the hook for being killed. Zilab Shogig, maybe the case is a case of Shogig, where you inadvertently hurt the guy. Vinikam Ikalut, and what it means is if he walks around, then you don't have to go into exile, into the city of exile. So Kasha, indeed, that's a good question. And that points to the fact that none of these proofs really, in a clear and unequivocal fashion, point to the notion that even when Makot could be executed, because there was proper hatra'ah, etc. Nonetheless, we favor mamon. Maybe the Torah says mamon because talking about a case where there was no hatra'ah, and maybe indeed makot would carry the day, which of course would support Rabbi Yochanan. Now, going back to our original problem, I'll remind you of our original problem because we need to see it here in order to understand Rish Lakish's answer. Our original problem was that in our Mishnah, it includes Achoto and the other six, Mechuyavei Kretot, as people who get Knas. And we have the Mishnah in Makot that says that you get Makot for those Biot. In which case, how could it be that you get Makot and you can pay? We say, Eino Meitu Eino Lokeh Meshalem. So he said, oh, it could be that Ula said, oh, that's talking about a case where the sister is a Bogeret. That's Makot. But in our case, where it's an Ara, we will favor Mamon over that. Rabbi Yochanan says the opposite. Rabbi Yochanan says that our case is a case of both of them Achoto Na'ara. And he said that indeed, if there is Hatra'ah, then you're going to give Makot. If there's no Hatra'ah, then you're going to give Mamon the Knas. That's Rabbi Yochanan, because he says that Makot will always carry the day over Knas. Okay, so now, Rosh Lakish gives a different answer to the problem. We had Ula's answer, Rabbi Yochanan's answer, and our third answer, which is Rosh Lakish. He says as follows. Rosh Lakish Amar Hamani, who is the author of our Mishnah? Rabbi Meir. And by the way, this is very good, because we already established that Rabbi Meir is the author of our Mishnah in the context of saying that the Knas only goes to a Na'ara and not a Ktana, against Chachamim, who said that also a Ktana could get the Knas. So it's quite helpful to have Rabbi Meir be the author of our Mishnah from another perspective. Why did Rabbi Meir? Da'amar lo kel mishalem. Rabbi Meir says when you have Makot and Mamon coming from the same action, you do both. Rabbi Meir, afilu bitonami, so if that's the case, then perhaps Rabbi Meir even says that when you get chiyuv mitah with financial liability, you do both. So pick a bigger chiddush. Why don't you say that if you had biyah with somebody for which there's a chiyuv mitah, like your own daughter, then you would still pay knas? Maybe Rabbi Meir only says that makot and mamon come together, but if it's mitah, then mamon you're exempt, and that's where you'd like to draw the line. Velo, Ratanya, ganav tavach b'shabbat, ganav tavach l'vorot kochavim, ganav shor niskal tvacho. Little introduction to this. Remember that if you steal an item, if you burgle an item, then you are chayav to pay to the owner double payment, kefel. If, on the other hand, you burgle an item and then make it inaccessible, let's say the classic case with an animal, you sell it so that it's no longer retrievable, or you kill it, tvacho, then you're chayav to pay a payment of four or five times the value, arba v'chamisha. Rabbi Meir says that if you did this on Shabbos, or you did it to Avodah Zarah, you did it with a shor haniskal, an animal that you're not allowed to shecht, right? Then you still pay arba v'chamisha, Rabbi Meir. Chacham say you don't. Why does Chacham say you're potter? Because, after all, when you shecht it on Shabbat, you're already chayav mitah, so therefore you're not chayav for the arba v'chamisha. So you see, Rabbi Meir says, even when there's a chiyuv mitah, nonetheless, you still have to pay the lesser, what we all agree is a lesser obligation, which is the financial obligation, which comes simultaneously with the greater one, which is mitah. So you see that Rabbi Meir does not limit his obligation to mamon umakot, even mamon umitah, he says you're chayav twice. All right? So now, Hayitmar Lam Rabbi Yaakov, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Lam Rabbi Yirmi, Rabbi Yishim and Lakish, Rabbi Yilav, Chol Chavurta Mishpin Rabbi Yochanan Amri. Everybody says in Rabbi Yochanan the following thing. Why does Rabbi Meir say you're chayav? The Tovech Ha'idei Acher. You didn't actually do the Shechita. You had somebody else do the Shechita. You stole the item, brought it to him. He didn't know. He did know that it belonged to somebody else, and he shechted it. The Chizech Hotev, is that mitchayev? Time out. The other guy is doing the Shechita, and now I'm chayav? Take it back. I'm the guy who stole it, but because I handed it to somebody else to do, so Rabbi Meir says, he's chayav because he violated Shabbat. In the meantime, you're chayav for Arba B'chamisha. So Rav Amar Achmona utvacho umacharo. Look at the pasuk. It says, if he shechts it or sells it. Ma mechira yidei acher. Just like selling needs another person there. Aftvicha yidei acher. So shechita could also be through somebody else. You don't have to be the one to kill the animal. If you get someone else to kill the animal, you're still liable. Rabbi Shmuel Tana O L'Rabot HaTashaliach. He says the word O Tvacho O Macharo instead of U Macharo is there to expand it to another person. Chizkiyah Tana Tachat L'Rabot HaShaliach. So you have to pay Arbat Son Tachat HaSe, etc. That word Tachat, in other words, one way or the other, we understand that if somebody else says the Shechita for you, you still have to pay the Arba V'Chamisha. So Meir says, therefore, the other guy is Chayav for Chilul Shabbat or for doing Shechita for Avodah Zarah. Anytime you're chayav for tficha, so that's why you're chayav. But if that's the case, why do chachamim say you're exempt? After all, you did one thing, you stole and got it shechted. The other guy did the chilul shabbat thing. Rav Zutra, mi kabini de ilu avad iu lo machayev, vi avad shliach machayev. So let's think about it. Where could you have something where if you did it yourself, you're not chayav, because the shamus and the financial thing come together, and the other guy does it, and you are chayav? Doesn't make sense. So the answer is Yilavishum Lumachai, Vishum the Kom Labid Rabimine. That's where the term really shows up. It's not that if you did the Shechita yourself, you're not Chayav. You are Chayav, but it stands in the shadow of the greater punishment, which is Mitah. But if the other guy did it, there is no greater punishment. So therefore he's Chayav for the Shechita on Shabbat, and you're Chayav for the Geneva. So Iba Tabachadeachim, I tell me the Rabbanan apart you. So if that's the case, why did the Rabbanan say you're exempt? So the answer is Mar Chachamim, Rav Shimoni. The Chachamim who disagree with Rav Meir are not the Chachamim across the board. It is specifically Rabbi Shimon. Why Rabbi Shimon? What is his position? The Amar Shechita Shenarui Alo Shva Shechita. He says in the context of Shechita for Arba V'Chamisha, any Shechita which is not fit, which means it's not edible, is not called Shechita. So therefore, if you shech the animal in such a way or in such a manner or in such a context that makes it not a proper shechita, then he says you're not liable for Arba V'Chamisha. Now, that will work for Avodah Zarah and for Shor Niska, which you're not allowed to eat. That's an animal that is attacked and has to be killed, or for other reasons has to be killed. But if you shecht an animal in Shabbat, you're allowed to eat it. Titnan, Zemishtan Shabbat, Ashochet B'Shabbat V'Yom Kippurim. Even though you chayav mitah for the shechita, when you kippur chayav karet, shechitato kshira, it's kosher. So the answer is, so like Rabbi Yochanan Sandlar, Rav Shimon evidently holds like Rabbi Yochanan Sandlar about malachet Shabbat. Etanya, l'shava Shabbat, if you cook on Shabbat, b'shogeg ye'achel, if you did it b'shogeg, which means you thought it was Tuesday, let's say, you can eat it, v'mezid lo yochal. The mayor says, if you did it intentionally, you can't eat it. You remember, b'shogeg ye'achel motzei Shabbat, Rabbi Yehuda says, if you did a b'shogeg, you can eat it Saturday night. Amazing, lo yochal olamit. If you did it on purpose, you can never eat it, but that's a knas. Yochasan la remember, b'shogeg yochal ye'achel motzei Shabbat la'achirim v'lo lo. If you did a b'shogeg, then other people can eat it Saturday night. Amazing, lo yachel olamit lo lo v'lo la'achirim. He said, but if you did amazing, it can never be eaten by anybody. So the Rabbi Yochanan HaSandlar says that if, let's say, you shechted an animal on Shabbat, that shechita can never be used by anybody. My type of Rabbi Yochanan Sandlar, where does he get it from? Kedosh, Bechia, Pitcha, the Ben Yisir, Bechia gave this drosha in front of the Beit HaNasi, Ushvartem et HaShabbat ki Kodesh Yilachem. You keep Shabbat because it is Kodesh to you. So Ma Kodesh Asur Bachila, just like Hektesh, you're not allowed to eat, Af Maaseh Shabbat Asur Bachila. Similarly, something that you cooked, or shechted, or uprooted, or in any way got by way of Chilul Shabbat, is Asur Bachila. So, Ima Kodesh Asur Banah, Maaseh Shabbat Asur Banah. Take it one step further. You're not allowed to get Hanoah from Hektesh. So, we can't get Hanoah from Maaseh Shabbat. Tamar lo malachem. Therefore, it says, Kodesh Hilachem, it's yours. Shalachem Yehei. So, Yachol Afilu B'Shogeg. Maybe it's Asur Ba'achila, even if you did a B'Shogeg. Tamar lo ma'machalem o'chimad. What does it say in the next Pasuk? Those who are Machalel Shabbat will die. Amazing Amar to the Chavalo B'Shogeg. Since this entire construct of Maaseh Shabbat, or Asurim, is only when it is b'mezid, in a case where you'd have chiyuv mitah, and not in a case of shogeg, where there would not be a chiyuv mitah. So, we're still very much in the middle of this sugya, but at some point we need to pause, and so we will pause here, and Mirtz Hashem, in the next podcast, pick up in our discussion of the issue of Kom Le B'Rabbi Minei, and Meitu Mishalem, and Loker Mishalem, etc., and with specifically against the background of the knas that's given to girls who have or this the object of onus and pitui, even though bia with them may carry with it a greater punishment. And we should have a wonderful day.